Taco Fowler has been waiting to be here, and we're happy to introduce the Secretary of State, Doug LaFond, who is an announced candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin.
Oh boy. What a situation, huh? Anyway, good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me to come. You know, after listening to John and Lori just now, I'm not sure this is worth doing anymore. I mean, it's insane. I was reminded that the first election I won was state senate. And I spent about $2,500. And I won. Can you imagine? Now we're talking millions, hundreds of thousands. I mean, over my career representing you as senator and Secretary of State, there's been this tremendous shift towards a disaster, which I'll talk about a little bit. You know, Wisconsin has been under attack for the last year by Mr. Walker and his Republican legislative leaders, one of whom will soon be gone. Thanks, Lori. And their co-president. They have torn Wisconsin apart. It's quite apparent they do not respect our progressive traditions, from education to the right of citizens to vote, from protecting our environment to ensuring a woman's right to choose. They have shown no respect. I love our state and the people who call it home. I love our lakes and our streams, our ridges, our valleys. But most importantly, I love and I believe in our values and our traditions. I am running because I will not stand idle watching everything we hold dear be torn down. I have the honor of serving this great state for a long time, and I've been privileged to work with many of you on a great number of important issues. But what I've said for 40 years, and I can probably document that somewhere in a file cabinet, that money in politics is the thing that impacts all the other issues. All the issues we care about. Women's right to choose, the environment, education. Behind that, the campaign money issue controls. When I founded Clean Wisconsin, Wisconsin's best environmental group many years ago, to protect the environment. At that time, I began talking about the fact that campaign finance reform is an environmental issue, as every issue is an environmental issue related to the campaign finance reform concept. When I was a state senator, I joined Senator Risser in working to give women access to family planning, which Wisconsin was one of the last states to finally wake up to that. But many times I have warned voters that they need to ask our presidential candidates about their appointments to the Supreme Court. I've always been amazed that during presidential elections, when I'm talking to groups, sometimes particularly women's groups, that they haven't quite connected that the president appoints a Supreme Court who can take away their right to choose. We have to make that high in our presidential election issue. Now, I can tell you a very long story, and I'm going to try to make it real short. But I know this because I've lived it. And it started in about 1964 when Goldwater was defeated, and the Republican big money people in this country panicked. They saw an environmental movement, a civil rights movement, an anti-war movement, a women's movement. Those things were happening. The 70s were a fun time, remember? We were doing good things. And they said, wait a minute. We don't like any of this. So they got together, and I can document this, and people have studied this, and I've got books and reports on it. And they said, we got to do something to get control of this thing. So they put together a lot of money, and they agreed every year to put in millions of dollars. And they created an educational school. Karl Rove was one of the first students to go to that school. They created a network of communication, including people like Rush Limbaugh and the Fox Network that didn't exist before. They set up a system of developing connections to what they called the ground troops. They knew they couldn't go to you or any American to say, we want our taxes cut and no regulation. That's what they wanted. They couldn't get away with that. So they made partners with the NRA and the Christian Right and the Farm Bureau and other groups that had grassroots networks. And through those networks and their money, they have hijacked our country. And most recently, we have seen the final climax of that effort. Who funded the Tea Parties? The same people. It's all part of a long-term strategy that I said I could talk a lot about. But if you want more information, do a Google for Rob Stein. He has done lots of research and written articles and books on this process. All right, well, 20 years ago, I remember a speech I gave where I warned that we were going to get the best democracy money could buy if we didn't watch out. Well, sadly, my warning didn't prevail. And with the recent Supreme Court decision that's been mentioned, and we added to our resolution, the United Wisconsin, the pay-to-play politics has reached an unbelievable level. Just listen to what John said a few minutes ago. I mean, that shocked me even, to see those kind of numbers for a state Senate race. And nothing could be more tragic as a symbol of this hijacking of our country than the horrible defeat of our Senator Russ Feingold by an absolute nobody who had lots of money, millions of dollars. Now we have to join in a fight to return Wisconsin to her progressive traditions and respect for values. The people of Wisconsin deserve a governor who listens to them and represents their interests and who can unite the state, who has no personal agenda, but just the agenda of the people. We can work together to identify the emerging opportunities in education and research. We can fund our universities. We can fund our educational systems. We can do the right thing for health care for Wisconsin citizens. All that is possible. We heard what I think Mark McCann mentioned, you know, how you can fund those things. Just a little bit of closing of a couple of loopholes for those people making over, you know, $500,000 a year. Bill Proxmire, who is one of my heroes, ran campaigns, as I think Ed pointed out, with very little money. And that's what people used to call me, the Proxmire, you know, and he actually endorsed me one time. I don't ask for endorsements very often, but one time Bill actually endorsed me because I've been out shaking hands like he did. Well, let me tell you, I can't win this election for governor by shaking hands. It's too quick, it's too soon. You know, I can go to every little town in Wisconsin and spend half a day and meet 30, 40, 50 people. But that won't work in this recall election because we have to move quick. So I'm going to depend upon a new way of shaking hands. And it's called the internet and Facebook and websites. And people said to me, can you win the election that way? And I say, the people of Egypt overthrew a dictator. We can overthrow a walker. Yeah. I believe that I have a strong statewide recognition, have been elected many times. When Tommy Thompson won four times, I won four times. Unfortunately, I won when Walker was able to win. And my reputation as an independent Democrat, I have support of Republicans. I get emails every day from people saying, I'm a Republican and I'm with you. I even voted for Walker. Boy, I'm ashamed, I'm with you. So I think that kind of reputation that Doug McFarland has can make me a very viable candidate to take down this Walker that we're having to live with. I will listen to all the people. I'll work to restore civility by treating all Wisconsins with the respect they deserve. This means honoring employees and businesses alike because they are both integral in our thriving economy. My goal is to bring us back together after these divisive times by listening and working with all segments of our state. With your help, we can send Walker back to the private sector, where maybe he'll be able to earn enough money to satisfy his wife. This election will be about restoring the faith in our values, restoring the faith in our democratic process and our public institutions, but most importantly, it will be about restoring our faith in each other. I will stand with you, and I ask that you stand with me. Thank you very much. Thanks to Lori, I have to remember that I have a website too. It's douglafollett.com, pretty easy. And even you can email me. I take emails personally, sosdoug@hotmail.com. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Kathleen Finehart, I understand, is now in the room.
actually getting to talk about money and politics. So you're not going to get to hear my stump speech, but if you come with me at 5:30 at the Proxmire dinner in Manitowoc, you will get to hear my stump speech. So I'm going to fly. I ran a campaign in 2006 as a new candidate, and I had no name recognition, no money, and no prior experience in public office. And I beat a popular incumbent and thought that I was well on my way to changing the way that the Capitol worked. Boy, was I wrong. In the fall of 2007, as a rookie senator, I led the floor fight against in the Senate against what I like to call AT&T global domination. And I hope that none of you work for AT&T or own stock in AT&T. If you do, blessings, because you're going to do wonderful after what AT&T did to our democracy. You may remember the group TV for Us. It was an AstroTurf front group for AT&T, and they wanted to modernize the rules related to cable and video and U-verse and all that new technology. But what they did in the process was do away with all the consumer protection laws. It's no accident that when you talk to DadCap and look at consumer protection, always cable companies are at almost at the top, always at the top of the list in terms of people complaining around the state about their service. That's because all the rules, gone. Now the night that we, and it wasn't me, my colleagues passed that cable bill that we called it, I saw for the first time very, very clearly, I saw the effects of money in campaigns. We had some 21 amendments to try and change the bill to bring back consumer protection laws. And many of, if you're from the Madison area, many of your colleagues and I worked hand in hand to try and slow down what was happening. But every time we got close to one of those amendments to beating our opponents, someone would change their vote and we would lose. And last night I was at Lac du Flambeau. I'm sorry, I can't tell you where I was. I was an LCO in Sawyer County at Hayward. And one of the fellows from the tribe, from the Coup d'Etat, said, talked about money in politics. And the way he described it was exactly as I saw it on the Senate floor. And he described it as a green slime that came down through the air and affected the votes of these legislators. And I saw that happen. And I saw my colleagues on both sides of the aisle change their votes. And it, for me, it was very, I hate to use the word enlightening, maybe sobering was the better word. There are no easy answers, and I think if you bet, I didn't get a chance to be here this morning, but if you were here this morning and trying to grapple with what to do, I think that you may have come to that conclusion. I certainly have come to that conclusion. And we should be cautioned and humbled by the fact that despite 30 years of campaign finance reform efforts, every election, we have more money that's spent, and it's funneled through channels that are murkier. When I think about the presentations that you just heard, and you heard Lori and John talk about the wall and the groups, maybe the professor in me wants to kind of give you a picture of the world that we're talking about. The idea of these outside groups, they're called independent expenditure groups, was something that was created because people saw contributions to candidates as potentially corrupt. But the idea behind it was that as a private citizen giving money to one of these shadowy groups, we call them 527s for the part of the tax code that they're under, that you could give an unlimited amount of money to that because it was a private citizen that didn't coordinate with the campaign. And then the other side of that, under the same thinking, is that if I was a very wealthy person, and of course I'm not, I'm a farmer, but if I was a very wealthy person, I can contribute an unlimited amount of money myself to my own campaign. And we saw that with Ron Johnson. Well, what has happened instead is that people have funneled more and more and more money into those independent groups. So when I ran in 2010, my opponent, Ed Thompson, wasn't paying for all of the media against me. $600,000 or more media was bought by a group in Washington, D.C. that was called something like the Republican Legislative State Legislative Campaign Committee. It wasn't my opponent. And when you've seen this in the reports, if you look through those reports, the amount of money that's actually being spent by campaigns is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So you have a former Senator Layman that stands on stage a few minutes ago and says, I have told my wife I have very little control over my campaign. When I think about how to solve this, I think about a jigsaw puzzle, and there's different pieces. And in order to solve it, we've got to work with each different piece. So there's the media, the voters, the interest groups, the political parties, and the candidates. And maybe there's somebody else that I forgot, but those are the main players. And I think that every single entity has a role to play to solve the problem. And first of all, let's think about the media. We see it right now in the governor's race. The media absolutely decries money in politics. Money in politics is horrible. But if you don't have money in politics, you're not a viable candidate, and we're not going to talk about you. And you won't get any free media because we don't think you're going to win because you don't have any money in politics, which we hate money in politics. Something's wrong with that. So if I was coaching my friends in the media, what would I say? Well, first of all, I'd say be aware that there is a conflict of interest here because there's a lot of money that you're getting that's going into your company's coffers that's coming from those really rich candidates that have all that money that you don't like. So the media has an obligation to accurately report what's actually happening, including what's happening behind the scenes with these shadowy groups. Who is paying for the ad? They know who's writing the check. Are they going to expose the people who are writing the checks? Interest groups. Right now, I think interest groups hold extraordinary power in the state and across the country, and they don't want to give it up. But if you think about it, many people in this room are members of interest groups, and we need to challenge the leadership of those groups to say, are you really making the decision about the candidate that is best for the state and best for the issues that I care about? Or are you simply following the conventional wisdom that money is going to buy this race and I'm going to put my money on the horse that already has the most money? We have that power within the interest groups that we're a part of. And I think about a number of different interest groups on the Democratic side in this race. I just had a whole flurry of emails that were going over my phone with related to some of the environmental groups that were talking about doing endorsements. A lot of my supporters say they feel like they were railroaded by their union leaders who didn't want them to endorse the way and they didn't want their union leaders to endorse the way that they did. I say every one of us has an obligation to hold the interest groups that we're a part of responsible for their decisions. Now the candidates, thank you. The candidates themselves need to push back on the conventional wisdom, and you heard this with the congressional candidates, the only job you have as a candidate is to sit on the phone, talk to rich people, so we can run TV ads. There's something wrong with that.
That's right.
And once they are in office, they need to learn how to say no to their friends. Think about Governor Walker. What's the last time Governor Walker has said no to his friends? Now everybody remembers the legendary Jesse Unruh, the legendary Speaker of the California Assembly. And he's the guy who said, money is the mother's milk of politics. But there's another quote he said that's often forgotten. If you can't look them in the eye and vote no, you don't belong in this business. The hardest thing to do for a political official to do, and the higher up you get, the worse it is to say no to your friends. And that's what the problem we have right now in the Capitol. Everything that's going through the legislature has some friend of the people that are voting on its name on it. That's exactly what's happening. Now, when I think about solving this problem, I think there is much that we can do. And I support the idea of a constitutional amendment to change Citizens United. Yes. I support strict disclosures on independent groups, these shadowy groups that we heard about. And I had John Lehman in my speech before. I knew he was going to be on the dais today. I sat near John Lehman when he was in the Senate, and I very well remember the day, and there were actually several days because we tried to pass this bill so many times. We had a bill in the Senate, and one of the times we tried to pass it, it was called Senate Bill 77, but he stood up on the floor, and he was carrying that bill, it was his bill, and he said, "We maybe cannot tell these groups that they can't say and do all these things in campaigns, these shadowy groups, but you know what we can do? We can take the veil off and see who's behind it." We want to know who's saying all these nasty things. And that was the disclosure bill that we passed. I bet we passed it five times in the Senate. We couldn't get it. We couldn't get a Republican or a Democratic legislature in the Assembly to take it up. But that's something we could do right here in this state. And I want to thank Mike McCabe for all of his work putting together a searchable database. Absolutely. That gives us insight into who's donating to the campaigns. But what it doesn't do, because we can't take the veil off, what it doesn't do is give us the larger part of the money, which is the independent expenditures and especially the issue ad people. The issue ad people, this is like Right to Life, they don't even have to report that they're spending anything, because they're not using these magic words that say vote for. But they have some of the nastiest operations out there in terms of twisting facts into something that's nothing like that fact, and outright lies. So working on the disclosure related to the issue ads and the independent expenditures is something that we need to do. But to go back to my little puzzle of all the different pieces, I didn't talk about the voters. When I think about the voters, voters have an obligation to get informed. And the single biggest thing we can do to get money out of politics is to beat it. Mm-hmm. It's to beat it. Think about Lori Compass. Think about the message that would say. We have to be able to say, "I hate money in politics, but you know what? I'm gonna reach into my pocket and I'm gonna give some money to those candidates that have less money, that represent the kind of grassroots candidate that I wanna see in the State House." We have to write those checks, ladies and gentlemen. And then we have to turn our energy and our focus to helping to support those candidates that are not bought by big money. We have to make the idea of a grassroots campaign something that says to the press and to the rest of the world, "I am viable because I have something far more powerful than money, and that is the power of the people." Now, campaigns need money. They need money. I've probably traveled 2,000 miles in the last week and I'm not finished yet. And everywhere I go, people want literature and yard signs. And I don't mind being known as the candidate on the shoestring budget, but I need some money to keep the operation running, moving forward. And it's coming in all small donations from ordinary citizens all across the state. So the message I leave you is if you don't like politics, money in politics, work for and donate to the candidate with less money. And now I'm headed to the Proxmire dinner.
We were going to have questions and answers, but Doug had to leave and Kathleen has to get to this dinner. I'm going to ask you the same thing, and Mary Batari is going to speak on behalf of Kathleen Falk. If we could take those questions and get them to the candidates and then distribute that information back to you. Does that make sense?
Sure.
All right, and we've never talked about this before, whether we have substitutes come in and speak, but Mary Batari is such a star. We are delighted to have her here, and she's going to speak on behalf of Kathleen Falk.
Thank you very much, guys. And special thanks to Ed Garvey. I am a writer by profession, and I track the Koch brothers, and I track Alec full-time in my day job. And I wanted to tell you a little story. And I sent a lot of freedom of information requests for information up to the Capitol building. And, you know, the governor dropped the bomb on February 11th. And on February 12th or 13th, there was a column by a young man named Ed Garvey that was posted on the fightingbob.com website. And lo and behold, it was the first column to say, you know, some people are going to be upset about this. There may be a few protests. And it showed up in these emails by Keith Gilkey's, the chief of staff, sending it to the whole cabinet. There's going to be protests. You know, Ed Garvey's on top of us now. He knows what's going on. So Ed Garvey, everyone. Off to him in the mail. So I'm speaking here my own personal opinions about my friend Kathleen Falk, who I've known for many, many years. Some of you know me and some of you don't. I worked in Wisconsin politics for a long time. I worked in the Wisconsin Senate for a lot of years. I worked in the U.S. Senate for Russ Feingold for a lot of years. And I have been kicking around politics for a long time. And I just have a few things to say about this race. First of all, experience matters. And also, executive experience matters. Taking over this governorship in this kind of economy with a split legislature is a really tough task. And I mean, I would never do it. I mean, it's a sort of frightening thing. And so I really admire that Kathleen threw her hat into the ring right away. And she's balanced 14 budgets and all that stuff that you know about her. But there's some things you might not know about her. I was having lunch with her, you know, many years ago, and, you know, she sort of kept checking her cell phone. And I was sort of like, what's up, sister? What's going on? I was a little miffed. And she said, I'm waiting for a call from an employer. And I said, are you switching jobs, or what's something going on with you, or what's going on? And she said, no, this guy came into the county services, and he really needs a job, and I think I have the perfect match for him. And she was literally trying to match people who were in need of county services with jobs by calling personally, and I had never seen anybody do that. And that really impressed me. That's the kind of governor Wisconsin needs, I think. Being a woman matters a lot in this race. I've heard a lot about research that women are very worried about these budget cuts, and they're worried about the health care cuts, and they're very worried about the John Doe investigation, those that know about it. And there's not a lot of people that know about it. It really moves the center in a way that's really quite amazing. So this is a hopeful race. I think a lot of people are very nervous about what's going on, but it's a very hopeful race because, you know, Scott Walker is helping himself out a lot with some of these issues and some of these investigations. Now, I've heard the rap on Kathleen, as we all have. I hear almost every day that someone from Dane County can't win statewide. Well, I say, you know, don't tell that to Gaylord Nelson. Don't tell that to Pat Lucey. Don't tell that to Jim Doyle. Don't tell it to Bill Proxmire. Certainly don't tell it to Russ Feingold. And last but not least, please don't tell it to Tammy Baldwin, who will be the next senator from Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. One more thing I want to say is that 10 weeks is really not a lot of time. It is a sprint. And that's why I was really proud of my friend, Kathleen Falk, for throwing her hat in the race right on the first day. There was no dithering, there was a lot of decisiveness. She's passionate about taking care back this state. She filed the first lawsuit against AB 10, against the collective bargaining law, right after the bat. She knew it was a violation of the open records law, and she brought that case to court. That's the kind of decisiveness and toughness that Wisconsin needs. But let's talk about a few of those issues that matter most to the people in the room. We all know that Scott Walker knows about as much about ethics and good government as Rick Santorum knows about contraceptives and women's rights. It's time to take Wisconsin in a new direction. You know, I think Kathleen has always been an open, honest, and very accessible person in county government. I could walk into her office without notice. Lots of other people did too. She's going to continue that that tradition in her new office. She was the first candidate to issue a long list about how she wants to reform government with all sorts of new plans for openness and transparency. She's going to prioritize redistricting reform. You know, no more secret meetings at law firms. She's going to absolutely remove the 36 political patronage jobs that Walker put into office. She's going to make her schedules public. Who knew that that would be controversial? But that's not something that happens under Governor Walker. She's going to post on the internet in a searchable database how tax dollars are being spent. That's not something that's happening now either. She's going to restore the two campaign public financing funds for Supreme Court and the legislature. And make sure we have a robust campaign finance system. She's going to honor the open meetings laws and open records laws as she always has. You know, there's never been a tussle with her about these types of issues. And she's going to protect our constitutional rights to vote. None of those ALEC voter ID bills or any other voter restriction measures. These are all not only the right positions, they're the winning positions. And with your help, she can run a people-powered grassroots campaign that will set the stage for a whole new beginning here in Wisconsin. And thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it. I should say Kathleen is up north in Rhinelander, and she's really sorry she couldn't be here today. She really respects your work. Thank you.
Mary, well, my chance is taken if you'll agree to run for office soon. We have one more candidate for governor, Dr. Harry Trivedi. He's here, and we'd like to welcome you to the podium. Sorry for a little bit of the confusion here, but I hope you
Welcome, Trivedi.
I greatly appreciate it. We were told to focus here on money in politics, and that's what I'm going to do.
There we go. Thank you.
This is a printout from my website a few weeks old, and I'll read out a pertinent statement. It says, I am not accepting contributions. Thank you if you're thinking about the same. This is dated January 11, 2012, printed at 4:45 p.m. Since then, it has changed, and I'll come to that. But this is available. If someone wants, I can email a PDF at any time. Just send me an email via my website, and I'll send you this. Since then, it has been hammered into my head that I need to raise funds. So now, just like everybody else, you know, I've got a little donate button, and it's all out there. So it's the necessary evil, and you know, it's the reality, and I know that this statement is not sustainable. You know, money in politics, I believe has adulterated the process. You know, it serves as a distraction from the issues at hand and for what the candidate or the person stands for completely. You know, now we know there's with Wisconsin primaries upcoming, so the ads have started rolling. And I was, I saw an ad the other day, and it was just unfortunate. You know, just unfortunate is the only way to describe it. you know, besides the fact that it was, you know, flowing poorly, it was intellectually just so unappealing, just filled with negatively filled gibberish, if you will, which says nothing about the issues or nothing about the candidate. And it's just unfortunate. And what's even more unfortunate is that we know from the media that these same ads have had an impact in other parts of the country. And they have swayed the primary in favor of one candidate. So it's really a sad state of affairs at present. You know, and the other aspects which are just frightening is the sources of funds just make no intuitive common sense. You know, they come from outside the state, they come from all these organizations, all these people which seem to have no connection with the constituency for which they are, you know, the advertisements are, and it's just become a jigsaw puzzle, as some of the other people have said. So it's no wonder that the large majority of Americans are disillusioned by the political process. It's no wonder that the large number of Americans feel that the system has become dysfunctional. It's no wonder that the ratings of Congress, which include the Democrat-controlled Senate and the Republican-controlled House, are at or near all-time lows. If we as a society don't stand up and do what is right, all we will see is further corrosion of the core values of our democracy. And we start by using the power of our vote to make a statement. We will not tolerate dirty politics in Wisconsin. So, you know, I want to just focus on, you know, on money in politics. I want to quickly tell folks, just do me a favor, visit my website, it's trivgov.com. There are flyers outside that you can email me, and it lays out my platform, it laid out my ideas and my agenda. Now we need to turn things around in this state. We need to bring in external capital to rejuvenate the economy. We need to enhance education. We need to increase our agricultural productivity. We need to flaunt and promote our premier tourist locales. You know, it's been in the news recently how tourism has been decimated, and I've been saying this, you know, humbly, fortunately, for the past several weeks. And most importantly, we need to raise the level of political morality. So Rhode Island has the only sitting independent governor, and I plan to be the second one. So please visit my website, and you know, if there is a show support link, if you, you know, agree with my views, you know, send us a message, and we'll be honored. Thank you very much.